Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives. We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva. Hey everyone, it's Eva.
It's Kylie.
And welcome to a Kylie and Eva episode.
Wow, wow, wow.
Good one. I like that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Very well done.
So, my beautiful friend, how are you?
Well, I'm excited to have a Kylie and Eva episode. I'm not gonna lie. I love our guests, obviously, and I wouldn't change that. But I also love that we get to look forward to just a you and I catch up every 3 or 4 weeks.
I mean, what listeners don't know is that so we record the podcast at 8:30 Eastern time. So when we're done interviewing guests, like, I should go to bed. My children wake me up at 5:30 to 6. But I love, as you can only imagine, talking to Eva so much that I regularly stay up to like midnight. Being like, Oh, wait, one more thing.
I know. We keep being like, we have to go. But one more thing.
Yeah. We'll like make plans before the podcast. We're like, the night's going to be an early night. And then Nick will be like, what time did you come to bed last night? I'm like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. So this is why we need to dedicate a whole episode to just you and I every 3 weeks.
It's true. We could really just have like a whole spinoff podcast. It's just.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I'm very excited to be having this combo too.
Yeah. So what we have on our agenda today, everybody, is I wanted to go in a little bit about my mental health, my personal physical health. And then as well, we think we're going to dive into some sort of time management, healing our relationship with productivity stuff. That's kind of what we have on the agenda. So,
oh my gosh, I love you, my Capricorn, like angel.
Yeah, I have it all laid out.
The, like, bulleted agenda.
Yeah, like, here's what you can expect. 1, 2, 3.
Love it.
But so I guess I'll just dive in because I specifically messaged you being like, hey, you know what, Kylie, I want to spend some time talking about this candidly on our show. Because I want to give you guys some background information. I think the reason I want to talk about this is because as someone who spends a lot of time in social media and in the online world, I mean, you know, like, this is just one of those things about social media is that you see everyone's highlight reels, right? And it's like, I wanted to come on here and be like, this is a real depiction of what's going on in my life and that there are struggles and it's not always perfect. And I remember specifically, there was this one sort of like big business owner, entrepreneur woman who I followed, who I like kind of admired. And I remember her saying that she was going to come out and do a podcast to talk about her depression and her mental health. And I was like, ooh, like, I was amazed that she struggled with mental health. I was like, you, this like multimillionaire entrepreneur woman, it felt very sort of validating and, I don't know, very human to be like, okay, she's going to just come on here and listen to and talk about the podcast. So I was really excited to go tune in, but she talked about it very superficially and very surface-y, mm-hmm. which is maybe what she was comfortable with at the time. But I felt very disappointed because I was like, no, like, I want to like go. I want to know, like, I want to go into the meat of it. I want to know, like, what is your experience and how do you function as a human with someone who sometimes doesn't always feel great? And so that's kind of like why I wanted to talk about this.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of a background.
Well, I am grateful for that. And it also feels very fitting with our whole, like, that's our agenda, right? It's like, cause I think spirituality is also one of those things that we can like paint these broad strokes. Right. But I think one of the things I'm always interested in is like, but like granularly, like what does your day look like? Like, how does it feel in your body when you're connecting to your source of the divine, you know? Yes. So I think what you're putting forward is like, I think very much in line with our mission, so to speak.
Yeah. Like, let's get real. Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's see. I think listeners know, if you've been listening for a while, you know that I struggle with hormonal stuff. That's kind of been getting increasingly worse and worse, I would say, within the past year and a half, where my hormones are just, I don't know what's going on. I'm actually seeing a naturopath now, but generally, before my period, I will just become really tired, really moody, really depressed. And I kind of like vacillate from like one end to the other. And then on top of that, I have chronic fatigue, which is something I've struggled with for 10 plus years. And I've seen all the doctors and all the blood tests. I've done all the very alternative things as well as the very medical things. And mostly the thing that helps most with that is just rest. Like sometimes I just gotta like stop and I can't do the things that I want to do. And recently I've noticed that I think what's interesting about these two things is that they come in waves. So I'll have periods of feeling totally fine and like not even fine. I'll feel great. I'll feel like myself. I'm effervescent. I'm on top of the world. I'm confident. Like it's all good. And then I'll go into a dip of like, I'm super tired, super drained, thinking like really negatively. But I think it's because there's a vacillation. If I was just like in the dumps all the time, I would be like, okay, this is a problem and I need to go see like a specialist and get this figured out. But because I'm actually okay half the time, I like forget that it's kind of a problem. And I kind of psych myself out and I'll be like, oh, it's not really a problem because
I'm
good again. Like, as we all know, pain and suffering are the catalyst for change, right? Like it pushes you to change. But if I'm not always in suffering mode, I'm actually like, oh, I'm good again. I don't want to spend that time like trying to fix things. I just want to live my life. Mm-hmm. And so I share all this to say that like, even I'm still wrapping my mind around the fact that like, oh, this is like a real problem that is affecting my life to the degree that I have to arrange my life according to these things. And I was talking to Adam about it recently. Like this is one of the things that makes me really unsure about whether I want to have kids. Like if I don't have the energy now, and if I don't feel like I can be totally, it just, this, the mood stuff in particular is like concerning to me, that I'm like, I don't know. It just makes me reserved or hesitant to even really think about motherhood. So I think like those sorts of things make me realize like this is a thing, but,
and not because you need to become a mom, but it would be nice if you felt like you got to make that decision based on like what really felt right for you, as opposed to like, oh, this, I think this door is closed. Totally. Those are like really different ways of engaging.
Yeah. Cause it makes me scared to become a mom instead of rather like, if I didn't have these things, I don't know if I would, I wouldn't feel like there was that limitation really.
Yeah. Yeah.
But God, we had a really wonderful podcast guest on when we first started the podcast. She was a yoga teacher who, did the yoga teacher training with you. Do you remember?
Oh yeah. Anna Franzosa.
Yeah. Anna Franzosa. So she is wonderful. Even if you guys are interested in talk, she talks about like invisible illnesses, which was the first time that I had really, really thought about it that way. And it really spoke to me because I think I'm someone who on the outside, and doctors even like, they're like, you look fine and your tests are fine and everything checks out as fine. But it's kind of like this weird, like bargaining that I do with the world to be like,
yeah,
you don't see it, but I'm actually like, don't feel fine. And then it makes me like doubt myself.
But then you question it.
Totally.
Right. Cause you're like, what is the, like, and so then you would also explain with the like, with the swings of like, I'm fine and then I'm not fine. When you're not fine, it's even easier to gaslight yourself because you're like, oh, but like, is this really that bad? And then by the time it could get to that bad, you're kind of swinging out of it.
Totally, exactly.
Which then just reinforces like, see, it was all fine all along.
Exactly. Yeah, and I just, I think it's so important that I share this because I actually, as I have shared this here and there, I've had a lot of women come to me be like, either they can relate to this story, or they gaslight themselves, or they're also not sure, or they're downplaying their own shit, or they don't honor themselves. They don't listen to their bodies. Like it takes a lot of work, I think, to honor yourself in the midst of mental, whatever you want to call it, like mental illness or mood disorders or what, you know, all of it, like any type of like
invisible illness. Invisible illness. All of this stuff. Yeah. No, I think, I mean, even just like on a like smaller scale, like just like having a shitty day and like being like, I'm fine. You know what I mean? Like it's a thing we do on the small scale too. Mm-hmm. So we just do it bigger.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm completely falling over. I laugh, mom, if you're listening, I laugh at my mom all the time because she does this thing. She's like, I think I'm getting allergies. I really think I'm getting allergies. And then she'll call me and she'll be like, so I've been sick for 3 days. I got the flu. But it's like, it wakes you, you know, the, in the marching up, it's like, no. I just have allergies. So I share all this to just be like, I mean, I know I do this. I know other people do. Like, I just think it's so common.
Yes. No, but I'm so happy you're pointing that out. Cause I think that's ultimately the problem, is that like, it comes down to a lot of like, are we listening to ourselves and are we trusting ourselves? Like, how long is it going to take for us just to be like, oh, no, I'm actually just sick, or no, yeah, I actually just need to go the fuck to bed. Not because like we got pushed to that degree, but because you were living in enough trust, like, yeah, of how we were feeling to just honor that.
So this is interesting. And I knew there was a reason I wanted to talk about the, like, you know, overproductivity balance thing. Cause I think my version of this lately, like, I'm totally someone who's had like all sorts of mental health stuff. And, you know, my therapist and I are intimately, you know, we know each other well, like, mm-hmm, but I think in this moment, one of the big ways all this is showing up for me is around like, just kind of this compulsion to be busy. So like, you know, my kids will go down for a nap and I'll like have, you know, 15 minutes where I could be doing any, you know, I have 45 minutes where I could be doing anything. And like, what I want to do is like sit on my couch and look out the window. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that's not an option. Like, you need to be scrolling social media or like outlining your next group program or like, and enough of that builds up to all sorts of like, that's one of the things that I know fucks with my mental health, you know, mm-hmm, is when I don't give myself time to just like unplug. Yeah, you know? So totally. I guess, which again is just to say, like, I don't know, I think all this is really important to like be in trust with,
yeah,
what you need.
And I think there's like varied degrees of this, right? So I think you're talking about something that we can all relate to, this idea of, yeah, like, we're always trying to pack in more, we're always trying to do more. But on a grander scale level, when we do that for a prolonged period of time, for an intense kind of way, that actually is how chronic illness shows up, yeah, in your body, like over time. I'm not saying you, but like, we've had enough guests even on the show come up and tell us, and this is also my story, like, how did I even get here in the first place? It was because for years, I just pushed myself very intensely, mm-hmm, because I was sucked into the culture of what was appropriate. Or it could have been my own conditioning or whatever, mm-hmm, it is, but definitely living in New York, like this very sort of fast paced, intense, like I'll sleep when I die kind of attitude, mm-hmm, added to that. And so that's like the, on a grand scale, but like you said, it also shows up on these like little ways. So it's like a constant practice.
I also think there's another thing that can happen, which is like something is working. You're like, these are my energy levels. This is how I show up. And then some big shift happens in your life. And all of a sudden you can't do the same things, whether it's temporarily or a new normal. So this could look like getting a new job that requires different things from you. It could look like grief, you know, yeah, someone you love dies and all of a sudden you like just don't have the energy to do the things, yeah, that you normally did for a while.
Or motherhood. Like
motherhood or a global pandemic.
Yeah.
Where like all of a sudden you're like, what's wrong with me? I used to be able to like work out 5 days a week and now I can barely do it once. Well, like, what you have capacity for, that in and of itself fluctuates. And I think I have like tears in my eyes thinking of this, because it's like, that's something that I think I have a really hard time having grace for.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm so happy that you mentioned that, because I think comparing ourselves to what used to be or to anything really or to other people is truly self-sabotage. Where I think what I'm learning and what I have learned and continue to learn is, this is what I mean when I talk about like living intimately with the present moment, because it's really checking in with like, what's the truth of my reality now? Like, what is my body feeling now? It doesn't even matter, yeah, if it, what 10 minutes ago it was saying, because,
yeah,
the only truth that like is there is just like the now. And then like, however, the good news is that like, I have found anytime I have like the courage to listen to that, it generally serves me.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, just, you know, I can be a stubborn fuck.
You speak for all of us, I think.
Yeah. But yeah. But just this whole thing about mental health though, a little bit. Oh yeah, Kylie, you know this. I said this to you too. I was like, I think the other reason I just want to like take a moment to touch on this and be transparent about my experience is that I don't have, I've like dedicated my life, I think, to personal growth and like really studying the human like condition and like, you know, the habit patterns of our mind and all of these things. But I don't have like a nice clean bow to like, this isn't wrapped up as in a nice little package with like a beautiful red bow where it's like, and here are the three top lessons that I've learned.
Moral of the story.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is me, like.
You can't make a listicle out of your mental health. Exactly.
Well, because so often I want to, like, I get sucked into that trap as like a quote unquote life coach or any kind of coach is like, okay, here, I went through this hard thing. Now let me show you 1, 2, 3, here's what I learned so I can package it up for someone else to like have a takeaway. And don't get me wrong. Like that can be helpful. And that's also true. And that, you know, that's not a bad thing by any means, but this isn't that. Like, this is just me being like, hey y'all, like even now I'm kind of, because I'm talking to you, Kylie, like, you know, you automatically lift up my spirits and I just love being around you. And so like, I'm getting good energy. Like this is like fun for me, but like earlier today I was just tired as shit. And 2 days ago I was just like, I really had to spend time like taking care of my mental health. I was just thinking negatively and then getting, and then thinking about like all the things that I had to do and how I couldn't do them and like totally spiraling and getting into like analysis paralysis. Like I teach this stuff because like, I know it, like, I know it. Like,
is
really
that
well.
How meant when you're like, when your mental health is trickier to navigate, is that how it shows up for you? Just like overthinking?
Oh, that's a good question. No, I would say it shows up in a lot of different ways. It's, it can be, a lot of it is despairing actually. Like depression. I don't know. I want to be like considerate of people who I think, you know, have diagnosed depression. I think I have a propensity for depression.
Yeah.
But I don't, but my mom had like very real diagnosed depression. She'd be in bed for weeks on end and like couldn't get out of bed. So like, that's not me, but I also think I have a propensity for depression.
But I also think because we have that model, it can make us feel like, well, I'm not that. Like, I remember after, you know, I've shared before on the podcast, and actually probably not as much as I could, but after both of my kids were born, I had pretty intense postpartum depression and anxiety. After Desi was born, it was mostly anxiety, and I was like obsessed with thinking that he was going to die. Like, listeners, I wouldn't let myself imagine him being 5 years old. Because I was like, I remember if I'd like think of him going to kindergarten, I literally would follow it up with like, if we're so lucky, like that was my like mental loop.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. Isn't after, the mind bananas though?
I still remember the place I went to the, it was like just before Desi turned one and my mom and I went to the Boston Symphony Orchestra to go to a concert together, which was really, really cool. And I sat there, I was like in a pretty red dress and I was holding my mom's hand. And I had this flash of this like vision of me, of like Desi taking me there when I'm really old. And it was the first time, he was just shy of 1 year old. It was the first time that I let myself envision like him outside of infanthood.
Yeah. Oh, that's so,
and fucks us up. Anyway, where did I start to go with that? Oh. But one of the big things for me where I think I kept myself stuck was that I was like, I knew all these stories of women who couldn't get out of bed, you know, who had a child and then like, were just like sobbing uncontrollably or didn't feel bonded to their child or all. Like I had these kind of horror stories. And what I told myself was like, well, it's not that. So I must be fine.
Totally. It can't be and that bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get help and I didn't like, and I was like, I was in therapy, but I like, wasn't even, I just didn't really take care of myself because I was like, well, I'm fine. Cause there's other people who have it worse.
Totally,
and that was just was just one of the layers of me being shitty to myself.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. So, I think you make a really good point in that there's a spectrum of all of this. Right. And it doesn't, you don't need to compare it to anything else just to be like, well, do I feel shitty? Yes. Like that, that's all that really matters. Right. But like, but like to answer your question, I think I have a propensity for depression. And when that kicks in, it can be so subtle, but ultimately the perfect word for it is despairing. I think like, this isn't going to work or something's going, I just worry and worry and worry and think like something's going to go wrong or it's going to be the worst case scenario or whatever, just some type of like hopeless negative thinking. So that's one way that it shows up. But then what happens is when I get into that state, I think some people become overwhelmed and then they stop doing or they avoid. I think I tend to try to take control of the situation by doing. And then it's the doing when I'm not in a place to be doing that causes me anxiety, because I'm like trying to like make things work or like do things in my day. But,
yes.
And I actually just came to like the realization that was like, it was more of like a, this is a new realization, but it was a re-remembering the other day where I was like, oh, I'm trying to like work on my business right now when I have like no business working on my business. Like my number one thing right now is I need to take care of my emotional well-being, how I am like feeling, my mental and emotional well-being. And if that means not working on my business, and that means like, you know, doing something for self-care, like that is my number one priority.
Yes. It's so funny. So I have been basically consistently offering up as a prayer this idea of like, okay, universe, I get it. I'm not supposed to be so compulsively working and so compulsively busy. And also you keep giving me all these new ideas. So pick a lane. Right. And I've honestly had this like real confusion and conflict around like, what am I supposed to do? Like, cause I see the long list, like that sales page has got to get written. And also you want me to rest more. So which is it? And it's funny because this is something that our guest Erin Rose really gifted me with, is like, take that confusion and turn it into a prayer, right? Mm-hmm. Take the frustration and offer it up as like, I would like some guidance on this issue.
Yeah.
And sure enough, guidance arrived. Once I actually turned it from just like this mental chatter of like, I'm confused, but actually put it as like, I'm going to look up, like I'm in trust. Show me what you want me to do. I really started to get clarity within like probably 24 hours. And it's this, it was like, I saw how, I'll just use Monday as an example. I spent all day Monday, writing a, like all day Monday morning, writing a sales page for this new course that is out now. It's the Beyond the Veil, the Akashic Records course. By the time you're listening to this, and I spent all morning working on it, and it was like so much fun. And I was like, working on the graphics that Beth Porter helped us create. It was just like in the zone. It was really, really fun. And then like did a couple other things, had a client call. And then I came back to it in the afternoon and I had no business doing it anymore. I was tired. I was drained. I wanted to rest. I wanted to go outside and I didn't. And I worked on it for 2 hours and I got nothing done.
Yeah.
And then I was in a shitty mood and I felt bad about myself because I didn't get anything done, and I felt sad because I didn't go outside, and like, and then it turned into a story about how I was a bad mom because I missed my kids. Cause anytime I feel low, my ego's like, by the way, you're a bad mom. Like,
yeah.
Writing a, taking too long to write a sales page. How is that related to being a bad mom? I don't know, but my ego can tell you. And like, so like, I just watched my energy take a dive, and of course nothing got done. And I just have been trying to pay attention this week in particular to like, okay, when am I actually working with the energy of like, oh, I want to do this. When is my resistance like, okay, you're just afraid, so sit the fuck down and do it. And when is it like, stop already, just stop. Because I do think this, like, for those of us who have a propensity for busyness, I do think it really directly contributes to harming our mental health, because we just like plow straight ahead.
Oh, it totally does.
Drain ourselves.
It totally is. Yeah. I mean, this I think circles back to things that we've had that I talked about in previous podcasts, which is that kind of living in the world is all mind. It's like, we're almost detached from our body. And that's like the ultimate, either the ultimate sign or the first sign of not living in like a way that's probably going to serve me. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just like a very obvious sign for me, is that like, I don't even know how I'm feeling because I'm so busy just like living in this intellectualized analytical version of the world, which is actually not reality. That's like the other craziest part about all of that, which is that that's like not, I don't know how else to explain. Do you get what I mean when I say it's not reality? It's not, it's just in our heads. It's not like what is going on in the present moment of our real life right now, which is why it's suffering. I think this is why people say like this kind of disconnection from the present moment is when we suffer.
Yeah, like me sitting outside with looking at the fire, because we have an outdoor fire. So me sitting outside looking at the fire, thinking about like, you know, like Instagram is like not real. Like the Instagram is not real, maybe ever, but in that moment, right? Mm-hmm. Like what's real is I'm outside. It's like a cool spring night. There's a fire. Like that's what's real is like my body feels tired after a long day. Like whatever story is ringing in my head, like it's helpful to just like remember, like this isn't real.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say like it's interesting. The negative parts aren't real. If you're genuinely in Instagram and present and actually enjoying it, like that's another thing. Cause that's a possibility. Right. If that's what your choice is, you know what I mean? But it's like but we can tell when we're using it intentionally and when we're using it unintentionally. Yeah. And that's
And I actually just meant just thinking about it, not even but just like I'm just literally sitting there, like, oh, there's a world in front of me, and my brain is like, what should I post tomorrow?
Oh, you know? I see. Yeah. Do you remember? Again, I was looking for her name. We also had a wonderful guest who was talking about Sabbats.
Oh yeah, Jillian Bolons.
Yes, Jillian. She had the wonderful quote where she said something like, "Whenever we don't know what to do, it means we're trying to be in control." Do you remember saying something like that? Yes. I wrote it down to my notes somewhere, but it's just like, whenever we're confused or we don't have the answer, it's probably just because we're trying too hard to control something. And I was like, that really spoke to me. Cause I'm like, oh, like control is never the answer. Yeah. And it actually comes from like letting go, which is going back to what you were saying, offering it up to the universe or to God, even as a prayer. And it's in the letting go and with the trust that like the wisdom drops in.
I mean, and I don't even think that I necessarily let go. If I'm totally transparent, I don't think I really let go. I think I'm still a little confused about, I mean, maybe not confused, but it wasn't like I had this big epiphany moment. I just was like, I don't know. You fucking tell me the answer.
Okay. Yeah. No, I love that because that's actually probably more realistic, right? It's not like this beautiful moment of like, I'm in serenity and but I think even that practice is, I love that for two reasons, because I think it takes some type of humility to be like, I don't fucking know. Why don't you tell me? Right. Yeah. Instead of being like, I know the answer and I'm going to figure it out. You're just kind of saying like, it's that moment of like throwing your hands up in the air. Those moments are sometimes when
I just heard the song, throw your hands in the air like you just don't care. Yes. Sorry.
Yes, that should be our next, like our theme song.
Yes.
But also it's like, I think it's totally fine to say, hey God, I'm really freaking pissed and annoyed right now. And I'm expecting you to come in and help me out.
Cause I also feel like part of our kind of God wounding is this idea that like, we have to like, purify ourselves in order to get help, right? Or to like, okay, like I went to confession and I said all the prayers they told me to say, and like now can I have the cookie, right? As opposed to just like bringing our frustration and our angst and just being like, okay, you're telling me this isn't alignment to be angry all the time or fill in the blank, and like I agree with you, I don't know what else to do, and like I'm still angry, but I'm open to having a different experience.
But I think that's it. Like that's that opening, that it's a little bit of humility to open up and say, I'm open to something. Maybe something
I also
different.
Think, yeah, I guess I think it's humility. I also think there's some like real love there for the self, because it's recognizing like, oh, I get to have help.
Yes.
Like, or help is maybe an option for me. Like I don't have to figure this out and then get help. Like, I get to just get help.
Yeah. Okay. So in the context of your situation, or maybe it doesn't have to be this, your situation, but you were talking about how you asked God for input and then like answers started coming in. So I guess I'm wondering, and as we are both, you know, navigating and figuring this out, like, what is your advice? Like, what did you learn from that experience, I guess? And what is your advice for like, and for, or even for future Kylie self when you,
I mean, I feel like I come back a lot to that moment when Aaron Rose was just like, I just offer everything up. Like, that was like probably one of the most beautiful nuggets of wisdom anyone's ever given me. And it's like so obvious, but like something about where I was when he said that was like someone handed me a golden key, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and I like shared it with clients. I had one client who like, was like, oh, your homework all week is to like, every time you're upset, just like offer it up. And she was like, yeah, actually this works. Like, like I feel better. And also like there was something about like a doctor's appointment being frustrating. And then she was like, and then they figured it out. Like, so not only did she feel better, but also like it actually worked. Like things were moving more smoothly.
Yeah. When you say offered up, you mean like asking God to come in and help you out. Being like, yeah, I don't know what the answer is.
I literally, that's what I will say. Like, you know, and like, you know, in this moment, it was the, like, I'm confused thing. And I was just like, I don't get it. Like, I don't really get what you want me to do. Mm-hmm. I understand that rest is important. I also like, there's things that need to happen. So mm-hmm. show me what the answer is.
Yeah.
And then I just pay attention to things that like, that so land.
Could you give an example of what landed for our audience in terms of like what I want to try and show people is that the answer is not always like so black and white and what you think it's going to be. Sometimes it's just going to be, I mean, I don't know. Is that, that's been my experience. Meaning I get frustrated because I think like, oh, the answer obviously has to be either I do it all or nothing happens. But then when I like offer it up, I'm like, oh, it opens me to see something differently. So then I'm like, oh, I wasn't seeing that there's also option like 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there's always a middle path, right? Whenever we think it's black or white, like because it's not, polarity isn't real. So there's always actually something that's like balance. And I kind of feel like we're kind of always being called to be in balance. So how did it show up for me? I mean, honestly, one of them was an Instagram post, which I like shared in my stories, which was, I can't remember exactly the wording, but it was basically like 20 minutes when you're like actually in the zone is worth 2 hours when you're just fucking staring at your computer screen, mm-hmm. you know? Like, yeah. And I remember like reading that and just being like, oh, I see what I've been, you know? So it wasn't like I was in the records and I had this transcendent like answer. It was just like wisdom, like a rock fell in front of me and I picked it up.
Does total, of course. Yes. I'm so glad you said that because I mean, Instagram is just one example, but like that is sometimes how wisdom, I think that like God and wisdom comes through in any form that you are capable of seeing it in. And so like, I spend time in Instagram. So like God is just going to drop some stuff into Instagram. But like, if someone else is like a driver for work, they're going to see it like in a road sign.
I have this awesome client who only buys books from she calls them book fairies. And she's like, I only buy a book. She only buys them from like Goodwill or secondhand stores. And she's like, I only buy a book like if it's given to me or if it like, I find it at one of these stores. So like, if I'm supposed to read it, spirit will like,
oh my God.
Right. Wow. And like, she'll find books that are like, you know, like some brand newly published book that someone's like, oh, you should read this. And then she's like, okay, we'll see if the book fairies bring it. And then she'll go to the bookstore, or like she'll go to like Goodwill. And sure enough,
I love that. That's like such a fun way to play with reality. That's right? A fun way to play with reality when you are like trusting that you'll be supported in the way that you want to be supported.
And then of course she also like gives gift books to people all the time too, because like she's just like lives in this like currency of book generosity, which I just think is I share that story just because I think it goes to your point of like the wisdom will show up where you are.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like whatever kind of channels you've opened. So this woman has opened the channel of like books at Goodwill. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really have that channel open. So if I go to Goodwill, it's like mostly Rush Limbaugh. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. I have learned that to be true too. I know that, you know, like I love movies. So sometimes I feel like I see it through movies. I see it through nature, but like, I don't play video games, but like if I did, you know, like someone else who plays video games might like, it could come through a video game. Do you know what I mean? Like it's through the language that you understand and speak.
You know, something else is actually just coming and remembering. So one of the other things that I similarly, because I basically forgot about this hack. So like when Aaron Rose shared that, it was like my like superpower for like 2 weeks, and then I forgot about it, right? Mm-hmm. And it came back. I was like, oh, right, I can just offer it up. So I did it twice this week. I did it about, or maybe in the past like 10 days, but I did it about the like I'm confused thing. And then I also did it about, I think I might have shared it on the podcast before, maybe not, but my daughter who's two, I really have a hard time just sitting down and playing with her. Mm-hmm. Part of it is because I think my superpower as a mom is like, just get in the car. I have a diaper and like some peanut butter crackers and we're going to go have fun. And that's been kind of limited with COVID. Mm-hmm. And part of it is like, you know, you can only still play so much Dollhouse.
It's hard to play with like little kids sometimes. Cause
Yeah. It's kind of boring.
Yeah. It's kind of boring, but you have to be like, you want to like try and be attentive, but
I mean,
you know, they have 2-year-old brain and you have 30, you know, 5-year-old brain. So
yeah. And, I think by the time you listen, I'll have 36-year-old brain.
Okay.
I mean, there's a whole nother thing here about like play as a mom is really work. And so there's like guilt and shoulds and like, am I doing this enough and blah, 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 blah. And so that was actually another, but like, I also want to be able to play with her. And two things happened that made me realize that I really had so much to improve, which is my son said to my dad, my son said to his dad the other day, does mom do anything fun?
Damn.
And I'm just like, I'm going to go cry myself to sleep. And like I intellectually like know that I do have fun with them, but I also understood the root of what he was saying. Cause like my husband's really good at playing with the kids and I am like, it doesn't come as naturally to me. Right. So I'm not like a super serious mom, but I'm not like, you know, again, I'm better at like, let's go to the beach and then get as dirty as you want. I don't care.
Yeah. Right? Like, adventure. You're like adventure mom.
I'm adventure mom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm adventure mom. I'm not necessarily play mom. And so that happened. And then the other thing is the thing that I do with my daughter is I will sit down to play with her and then I get squirmy instantly and I go, I'll be right back. Mm-hmm. And then I like find other things to do and I don't go back. And so my daughter started, I sat down to play with her the other day and then she leapt up and said, I'll be right back. And ran to the other room.
Oh my God. That is hilarious. I think.
And like, she was laughing. Like she's not traumatized by it, but also like, I was just like, oh fuck.
It was just like the kindest message that like a kid could give you.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I just want to name, there's a little shame gremlin that's coming up of sharing all this, but also it feels right to share. And so that was the other thing that I like kind of lifted up. I was like, okay, God, like, I really would like to be able to play with my daughter. I would like for that to be fun and not feel kind of excruciating. And I don't really understand what the deal is. So like, could you help? Mm-hmm. And then I had a call with my therapist and like, we ended up there. We didn't start there, but we ended up there and she helped me uncover exactly the like root issue. And I've been like the most playful mom ever for the past 3 days.
Yeah.
Like it just helped me unlock something. So it was like, I did ask for help and then it showed up in the channel that I'd opened, which was my awesome therapist.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I just want to say, I mean, I think there's the spiritual perspective towards this about this. And there's also just the practical perspective, which is that on a practical level, we all know this is true. It's that when we start to look for something, we see it. Right? Like, do you know what I'm talking about? And where I'm going with this is that like, even if you're like, well, I don't know if I believe that like, you know, the clarity is just going to drop through. It's in the asking that you open up your eyes to then have the, like to see the answer more clearly in front of you. Just like when you're, you know what I mean? Like when you don't know what a word is, you don't ever really see it. But then once you know what the word is, you see it everywhere. Or if you, I don't know, if you're looking to buy a car or something, that you'll notice cars more. Like if you're looking to find a specific answer to something.
It also, I feel like you made a really good point that like despair is really thick when our mental health takes a dive. And I think offering things up is a really nice antidote to despair. Because sometimes when I'm in despair, I feel like, well, my only other option, like, okay, I'm in the bottom of a well and my only option is to like dig out. I don't know how to do that. And so like offering up is like, it's kind of like calling out to be like, well, is anyone up there? Can I have a rope?
Oh, I love that analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. So it just like is a pinprick into the despair, I think.
Yeah, Totally.
Which then I think to your point is like where the light gets to come in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would also add that I think, so Pilar Alesco, who is my mentor, coach, and was also on the show.
Guys, that episode is insane. And if you haven't listened to it, like, do so immediately.
Yeah, go back and check it out. It's like, it's, I don't even know. I don't have the words to describe it. It's awesome. Yeah, yeah. But just making the point that like, just that, I don't know, the way that she had said it to me once, I think really hit me, but as an earth sign, so this applies to you, but also like I'm a Capricorn with lots of like Virgo in my chart, that like letting go is big, big medicine. And I think that like, I do think that, asking for help and all the things that we were just sort of talking about, or offering up, really is to me a form of kind of letting go. It's just like, and that feels, I can tell it's working because I feel relief in my body.
Oh, that's a really good, analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, letting go feels really fucking good when you're holding on super tight to something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really scary to do. Like when you're in a lower, I think this is the thing that's really hard, is like when you're in a lower place, it feels so counterintuitive, right? Like when you're in a good place, you're like, yeah, I'll jump off the diving board. One, you know, what, like it's, yeah, if it's like, you're already looser, but when you're in a low place, it's really hard to let go. Like that's when you need to do it most. And it's just like, I guess I'm just saying this for like empathy. Like if you're in a tough spot and you're feeling like, okay, I just have to go, let go. And then there's like this story that shows up that's like, oh, why aren't I letting go?
Yeah, totally. Like- yeah. That's actually where so much of the suffering comes in. You get into a loop.
Yeah. And I remember Leah Garza gave us the phrase, you can't white knuckle surrender. And I think of that all the time. Cause yeah. I try to do that all the time. Like ready, sit, go.
Yeah. But I think when I say letting go, I don't mean like, I think that's where it's like, just how do I even explain it? It's like, what am I obsessing about just in that moment? And it could just be that like, I need to wash my dishes. Like, yeah. I'm not talking about like, let's like let go and take a leap into a faith into like the next month or the next 5 years of what's going to happen. It's just like, no, what am I like obsessing about right now? And it could be something as stupid as like, I keep telling myself I need to go. It's minuscule. Like oftentimes the thing just like in that moment is tiny. And I think when you get like present in that moment and being like noticing where the suffering is in that moment, it actually can be easier to let go. Cause you just have to focus on that one thing to let go of, not like your whole life.
And I don't know if this helps for you or if this is something you do, but I also sometimes I'm like, okay, what if we just let go for a minute? Like, you know, like, okay, I get it. You're stressed about like, you know, fill in the blank, like, you know, I don't know, you know,
taxes.
Where Desi's gonna, yeah, taxes. Oh, that was a good one. Oh, that was a big one last week. Oh, like it's just a source of where my like shame and anxiety is coming up. Then I got my tax bill and it was, I'm getting $200 back. I went from like total spiral of like, I'm the worst, I didn't save enough, I can't succeed as a business owner, to like, what, the federal government's giving me $200, I'm the best.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing, this idea of like, oh, and I would love to spend some time talking about this, but just the fact that like, again, reality is oftentimes much more kind than what our mind is telling us.
Oh, always. Because even if I had a big tax bill, even if I had such a big tax bill that I couldn't pay it, I'd just get an installment plan. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like my life wouldn't fall apart. I would just like find the solution. But my point being, so to pay taxes, for example, sometimes the thing I will do is just like, let's just not worry about this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if just for the like next hour, this wasn't yours to solve?
Mm-hmm.
And that really helps, except, and this is where I also fall into a trap, when that turns into avoidance.
Mm-hmm, totally.
So it's like this tricky balance. Like sometimes it's a really gracious thing that I can do myself. And sometimes it's like, oh, but actually like you need to call your accountant and you're avoiding it because you're trying to like be compassionate with yourself, but yeah. you're just avoiding something that is right. creating more suffering.
Right. So it's like, how do you really know? I think is this an oversimplification? I feel like the answer to that is that when you are going to like let go for an hour, that you take that beat to be like, this is very intentional. Like I'm very intentionally going to let go of an hour, and I know exactly what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Do you know what yeah. I mean? That's kind of a question. And it's a question. Like, do you think, I feel like that's the difference between having it feel nourishing and then yeah. getting into a place of avoidance.
I think there's probably also something there that's like, is there a very simple action? Like, here's the thing. I think thinking about things is never helpful. So I do feel like there's like is there a simple action I could do that maybe is itchy, but will be a kindness to myself? Or is the kindness to just stop thinking about it? Does that make sense? But it's when we like, it's like when we think about something without doing it, that it creates this like shame or discomfort, but it also doesn't move it forward. But then we don't, I don't know if I'm making sense what I'm trying to say.
I think so. I mean, yeah, I think you're describing like the very common thing, which is that it's never helpful to ruminate about something and not take action on it. And that's when it yeah. becomes like very dangerous. But I think for me, what I have found is that the answer is always going to be subjective and dependent on it's again, this is that moment by moment thing. Yeah, it's right. There's no like one way that it works.
Sorry. I think there's one clarity. And if you're being avoidant, you might as well be a compassionate avoidant and like not beat yourself up about it. Like it doesn't do any good to avoid your taxes and be an asshole about yourself. Like you might as well take the reprieve and just be like, well, I'm not doing it today. So I'm also not going to think about it today.
Totally. Yes. I think it's like either don't do it or feel guilty, but like don't do both.
Yeah. 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 So Eva, what is one of the things, I think one of the things that's really tricky is like, okay, I'm in this space. I feel kind of like shitty. Things are hard. Like, what are some of the things that you do to get yourself out of it? Because I feel like we are talking about some mindset stuff, and maybe that's really what it comes down to. But I'm just curious what you find most helpful when it comes to just being like getting out of the loop or the despair.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And this, okay, so this is going back to exactly kind of what I was just saying, which I think is a very important point, which is that I want to be so cautious of offering like, these are the things that you can do to make yourself feel better, because it's so subjective. And yeah. it becomes very dangerous when you're like, hey, I have these set tools, or I read this post on Instagram, or my therapist told me to do these three things. And then you're like, well, it's so dangerous when you're like, let me do these things that should work. And you're not actually like listening to yourself as to like what you really need. So you're following a prescriptive, like it's something that's prescriptive.
Even if it's a prescription you wrote for yourself.
Exactly.
Because it worked last time, but exactly. It's not. Yeah.
And yeah. What I'm saying, even we even talked about this, like brings us back to the top of the show. You were even talking about like we're different even from how we were 5 minutes ago. Like,
yeah.
So I think what is so important about this is I think this is actually the most profound advice I can give, which is actually, I also think really good fucking advice, which is like, check in with yourself in the moment and do that. Give yourself permission to do the thing that whatever it is that your body or your like soul or your pain or your suffering is telling you like you want to do in that specific moment. Because especially for overthinkers, and I see this for clients as well, is like you'll start to analyze your way out of it, and you'll try to like bring in all these tools and it becomes totally transactional. You're like, okay, let me meditate. No. Okay. Let me like take a hot bath. Okay. Let me like do the journal. Let me it's like you get yourself into a fucking frenzy of like, especially.
Oh my God. I remember once. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think this is very true of people who have a lot of like personal development experience, a lot of tools. Like this is actually ironically, that it can get distorted. Yeah. It gets super distorted. Yeah.
Like you always say the phrase, like, you know, you said like to self-improvement yourself to death or whatever.
Yeah. You're trying to fix yourself to death.
Yeah. And like, oh, I'm so glad you're saying this. Yeah. I remember once talking to someone and being like, well, what do you do? What's like your like self-care? And it was like, whatever, the way they shared the list, I was like, that just sounds like work. Like, what is like, what, like, and I've totally fallen into this trap myself. Like, where I was listening, I was like, oh, am I, when was the last time I read something that was like fun, you know?
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that can happen in that also is this idea of like, so, okay, maybe you tune in with yourself and what you either really want to do or just what you have the capacity for, right? Because like sometimes when you feel like shit, you might, some part of you might be like, well, I know that going for a walk would really help, but also like, I don't want to put shoes on. Like
totally.
I don't have it. Like I see that the birds are singing and I'm sure that the me who goes for a walk feels great. And also like, I really don't want to get off this couch.
Yeah.
And like, and I, all I really have bandwidth for is watching TV. But then we beat ourselves up for the watching TV instead of being like, well, this is what I'm doing. Like, okay. Right. So instead of just sitting there and like picking some movie and like falling into the movie, we're sitting there watching the movie being like,
I should be walking. Totally.
I should be walking. I like, see, this is why I'm depressed. It's because I'm not going for a walk. And like, but maybe there's some value in there of like, oh, I don't know. There's some, I just don't think that inner loop is helpful. It's like, just like,
it's so not
kind of go all in on whatever you decide to do.
See, that's exactly that's a wonderful example of what I'm trying to say is that the mind is telling you, you should go for a walk because you've created the story like, oh, I usually love walks and I know walks are good for me, so I should do that. But that's not the truth of your reality in that moment. If you actually don't have the energy, your body is not going to say, hey, let's go for a walk. Your body is saying like, let's sit down and watch Seinfeld for 5 hours or whatever. And I believe that when you take that like time to tune in and listen to what your body's going to say, it's a lot easier for you to give yourself permission to do it. And you're not going to ruminate about like what you should, that you should be out on a walk, because it's so clear in that moment that like sitting on the couch and watching TV is exactly what you need to be doing. Like there's less debate because the answer is like true.
You know, it's interesting though, because I'm thinking of times where like my body did want to move and my like heart was just like, nah, dude, you know, like I can think of times where like there was a not insignificant part of me that was like, oh, well, I'll actually go back to the example of when I was like ruminating on this sales page for 2 hours and got nothing done. And I was like longing to go for a walk, but I was like fixated on this sales page. And then like, eventually was like, okay, well, nothing's getting done. And at that point I was so drained, I didn't have the energy to go for a walk. So I turned on the TV and watched a new show called Shadow and Bone, which I'm finding very enjoyable. But, and I guess actually I think I was telling a story. I feel like there are times where like going for a walk would be more beneficial than sitting on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a part of me that really does want to go do that, go outside.
Mm-hmm.
And also, so like, quote unquote, that might be the better decision. And also I'm making the worst decision. Like I'm making the less good decision and that gets to be fine. Right. Like it's like the same way, like I might open my fridge and be like, okay, I'm depressed. And so I know that fruits and vegetables make you feel better. And I would feel good if I ate this apple, but I'm going to binge eat some pretzels and like, that's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so like technically binge eating pretzels is not that helpful, except it's much better to just do it rather than do it and be ashamed.
Yes. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
So I think it's the combination of needing both. It's like the tuning in and being like, hey, what do you need? And maybe you're like, I should eat vegetables because that would be better for my body. But emotionally, I'm going to get more out of eating pretzels. Like I'm emotionally eating right now. But if you actually just then give yourself permission to emotionally eat, that will actually make you feel better. It's the second part that's necessary, which is the full permission to do whatever it is that you decide.
Yeah. I think we're saying the same thing, except I think I'm wanting to put in this layer of like, sometimes when you're in a bad place, you just straight out make bad decisions, and judging yourself for those bad decisions just makes it worse.
Yes. Yes, I would agree that, like, yes, yes to all of that. Judging yourself just makes it worse. But I think, I guess my question is, like, sometimes when you're this, I'm very intrigued by this statement of, like, sometimes when you're in a bad place, you make bad decisions. Do you think that's still true if you, like, sat down in your couch, closed your eyes, like, breathed for, like, 10 breaths, and then asked yourself and asked your body, what do I really want to do? And then, like, waited for the answer to arise.
Then I think if I really did that, the answer would be, I want an apple.
Okay. So that's what I mean when I say, like, listen to mm-hmm. your body. Like, I will literally, like, stop and, like, sit on the fucking floor mm-hmm. and be mm-hmm. very, because at that point I'm already, you have to understand, this is, like, coming from a place of suffering. I'm yeah. already, like, going around my apartment in circles, and I'm like, okay, I can't do this anymore. Fuck this. Like, what do I need to do? I will, like, sit my ass down for a full minute and be like, okay, body, like, what do I need to do? So that's what I mean when I say, like, be very intentional about checking in on a moment by moment basis. It's not a mind thing. It's like I'm suffering. So in a way, it's the same thing that you were saying. I'm offering it up to God, kind of, but I'm kind of saying, like, I don't know what to do anymore. Like, if I listen.
And you're really carving out time to figure, to, like, sit with the not knowing and see what shows up. Yeah. I see that. That is really different than what I'm saying, which is, like, this inner dialogue. And then you pick one of two things or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really glad we kept going, because that actually feels like a real gift to yourself and accessible, right? To just, like, actually, like, I'm setting the timer for a minute and I'm going to sit here, not because meditation is good for me, but I'm going to sit here to see what it is that I need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's a deeply, like, this action is one that comes out of compassion from deep suffering. Like when you're in a moment of despair, what often happens is you're like, I can't do this anymore. Like, this is just too shitty. So why it's actually, kind of similar to, I think, this, like, offering up, but it's not so much a direct question to God, but it's a direct question to myself, being like,
spoiler alert, same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, I've been here trying, I'm in despair right now because I'm like, for whatever, all these reasons, but I'm making it worse because I'm trying to, like, figure out the answer. I'm going to try and stop figuring out the answer. And I'm just going to trust and listen to myself and give myself complete permission to listen to whatever that is.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I'm really glad we stuck with this so that you could fully explain that, because that I like a lot. That feels really like a new approach that I haven't used.
Yeah. It's,
and also just it feels simple.
Yeah.
Which is simple. Again, I've said this many times off camera, off recording. This is exactly what you do. So this is your genius, right? Of, like, this really complicated thing of, like, how do I figure out what to do when I'm suffering? And it's like, oh, like, here's something that is so real and grounded and practical. And you can do what, like, whether you're, like, haven't taken a shower in 3 days and, like, are still wearing the same clothes, or you just had a fight with someone and so you're vulnerable, like, you can do this thing. And I really feel like this is one of your gifts to all of us, is, like, making things feel really tangible and safe and vastly improving the quality of our lives.
Thanks, Kylie. That is so, so sweet. I would say, I will happily take that compliment, simply because I can't tell you how revolutionary this is and how this will basically change your life if you start implementing, you and everyone listening, meaning, like, this is incredibly powerful, because every time that you do this, you are strengthening your self-trust muscle. Yeah. It's like, people are always like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I want. Like, this is the integration of that, where it's like, you are living so intimately with yourself that, like, your mind will be blown, because you do always have the answer, like, somewhere.
But I love this.
I do want to add one more thing, because, again, this was just, like, so important for me just a couple days ago. You asked me, like, what is my advice? And in addition to, like, living intimately, is that, like, I think I may have said this earlier, but if you are really struggling with your mental health, like, give yourself full permission to prioritize that. Like, that should be your number one fucking priority, because, like, if you are taking care of your mental health, then you are doing the most productive thing that in that moment. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, people oftentimes think that taking care of your mental health, it can take a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort. And it's like, you have to like, whatever, like if there's just so many different things that you have to do, whether it's like call your doctor, or like see this other doctor or blah, blah, blah. And it can be very, it can be a lot of work, but that work is actually, I want to remind you, is the most important work. You're not like, you are being, if you need to be quote unquote productive, feel good in knowing that taking care of your mental health
is productive,
like so fucking productive, because you know this already. It's the payoff. Like your mental health is your mental health really is everything. Like your mental health is like the foundation. And then there's also like your physical health. Physical health is also so equally important, because if you don't have energy, if you don't, you know, for all these reasons that we kind of already know. Right. So that's like kind of how I spin it, is that like, and I, but it's not even,
it's
a spin.
Deeply productive to prioritize. Yeah. It's not indulgent. It's not like some trendy self-care. It's like, this is how I think, cause you and I are both like, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Ambitious.
Ambitious. Yes. I was trying to not say achievement oriented. I couldn't think of anything else. That's the story that shows up for me a lot, is like, well, like I'll do it after, right? Like I'll do whatever. Or that like, there's some like, you know, it's like an indulgent thing, or I can, it's like the reward.
Or that it's getting in the way of the other real work you should be doing. But like, that's the real work, because it's amazing. Like once you're, I have so much also compassion for people who struggle with mental health, because like once your mental health is in a good place, you're like, whoa, like I can do all this stuff and I feel so much like myself. And I had all this energy and I didn't even know. And the world suddenly looks two times more colorful than it did before.
I also just want to say, if you're someone who has like really struggled with mental health and like is doing the things, you have the therapist, you have medication, or you've tried medication, and like you still feel really stuck, I really want to encourage you to seek, like broaden the care that you're letting yourself have access to. Obviously I, you know, am a fan of spiritual healing, but there's also just like loads of very well documented, very well researched, you know, alternative ways of like moving trauma through the body and like, you know, administered by licensed psychiatrists. Right. So this isn't like a PSA for spiritual healing, although obviously I believe in that deeply, but I think sometimes we can get trapped in this model of like, well, I'm going to therapy and I have medication, and so like, this is the best it can get. Mm-hmm. And I think that is like a really toxic, harmful lie. And for some people, that's all they need. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you need an alternative approach. And I just think it's such, I just feel very passionately about this. EMDR, somatic experiencing, mm-hmm. like Reiki, consistent massage therapy. Like there are like a whole range of options that are out there, and you're not required to just walk around feeling like shitty all the time.
Totally. Yeah. I'm so glad that you said that. I mean, that's the options available to us now there's so many.
Yeah.
And people find healing through all sorts of different kinds of ways. I would say, if anything, that's where it gets a little bit confusing, because there's so many options. But that's again where, and we've talked about this on the podcast before too, is like you go towards what you is calling you.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you can't tell, like, you know, try a poo-poo platter approach. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like be like, you know what? I'm gonna try a new healing modality a month for the next few months. And then I'm going to like pick the thing that really sticks with me or whatever. But I just think like, and this is from someone who had like part of, and I think we've talked about this before, like, cause I know you shared this history with anxiety. Like it was a novel moment when I realized that anxiety disorder was a thing, and it was super liberating for me to realize like, oh, I have an anxiety disorder. That's what's going on. I'm not like weird and confusing. Like I know some people will get labels and they don't like them. It was very liberating for me, because I was like, oh, I can understand this more. And whenever I can understand something, I can then, you know, feel like I can modify my behavior accordingly.
Yeah.
And then with my kids, I like, before my son was born, I was like, I'm gonna get postpartum depression. People were like, well, don't say that. And I was like, no, for real, guys. Like I have like, it's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. Then it showed up. way different than I actually expected, as I just mentioned earlier. So I like didn't actually let myself get the help I needed to. And I don't have anxiety anymore. Like, I mean, I experience anxiety, right, but I don't have an, I don't have a disordered relationship with anxiety. It doesn't run my life. Like I was just like physically sick to my stomach all the time for probably a decade. So I say this when I say like, we're not required to walk around feeling low key shitty all the time. I say it as someone who did that for a long time. And I just think it's important to talk about how that's not actually required. Sorry. PSA over. I just feel very strongly about this.
I think that's so, I think that's important for people to hear. I think people, hopefully, I mean, people on our show know already that there are many options available to them. And so they're not limited to just like the most like traditional Western ones. And I would also say I'm someone who's a little bit on the opposite end of that. Whereas like, I will try, I feel like I've tried a gazillion different things. I feel like, and I think there's a downfall to that too, which is like,
I guess you're right.
Desperately trying everything. I'm reading, have you heard of the book Medical Medium?
I have heard of this book. Okay. I'm curious to know what you think of it.
Oh man, I don't know what I think, but it's true that when people get desperate, they will try all different sorts of things. I think that's like a little bit of like my only sort of
that's warning. A good point. And because you also, because then you can just be also pathologizing yourself of like, oh, like I need to like, I need to scrub this away from myself as opposed to like, oh, I'm like gonna like intentionally create space to like move through this or whatever. No, I think that's a really, really
good point. I do think there's an easy answer to that, which is just that like, you just check in with yourself and be like, is this serving me right now? Like either is searching for a bunch of different alternatives like serving me or not? And sometimes the answer will be yes, because you're like, oh, well, finally I'm opening up my perspective to different things, and you might find something new. And then if you're like running around with your head cut off like a chicken, then you know it's like, maybe it's not serving you.
And I should also, I feel like I should also say like, these things come in waves. So like a disordered relationship with anxiety could totally reemerge in my life, right? So I don't want to like say like, I'm wave this flag and like everything's peachy. You know, I don't mean to imply that. I just, I spent a long time doing all the things with limited relief, and and I am grateful to have a different experience now. And so I am always eager to share that.
Totally. I think, you're so right about these things coming in waves. Cause there's times where I like, it's interesting.
And it shows up again and you're like, oh, this is what I used to feel like all the time.
That's kind of where I am now. It's like, cause there was such a long stretch of time where I was like, I don't know, you know, that wasn't a part of my like consciousness or whatever. And so like, you kind of forget and then we remember.
I have this very distinct memory of being in the library at the very end of my freshman year of college, writing in my journal, like this like fuzzy forest green journal. And I remember writing and I was like, I have this feeling that's just like this weird feeling, but it's really familiar and it's not pleasant. And I was like describing it to myself and was just like, what's happening? It was like the like last week of college. And I was like, this is depression. I've been depressed my whole life, except for my freshman year of college. Well, shit.
Dude, that's why writing shit down actually is like so simple, but so helpful. Cause sometimes you do not know until you like, I just had that experience recently too, where I wrote something down and I was like, oh, that's a depressed statement. That's a statement that a depressed person makes. And that's when I was like, light bulb moment. So and it comes in waves. So I want to say one more thing about, this is probably the first thing that I should have said when you asked me, like, what else do I do that's helpful when I feel like I'm in a tough spot. I would say like, I let myself feel shitty. Mm. Like sometimes trying to fix it and get away from it is not the answer, and it just makes it worse. Like, what if there's nothing that you can do about it in that moment?
Yeah.
Like, what if you just feel really anxious, or what if you just feel really sad? And I know it's just a paradox, or it sounds ironic, or I don't even know, because it just doesn't make any sense. But like, sometimes just giving yourself full permission to be however that is in that moment without trying to like change it or fix it is the only thing that you can do. And sometimes that's like the most compassionate thing that you can do.
Yeah. I'm so glad you said that, because I think, and this is something you said before, but so much of our suffering comes from our like almost frantic attempt to get away from the thing that feels uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And then the reality of it is always gentler than our fearful story of it. So like, you know, distracting or like avoiding or trying to fix away our grief or our depression or our anxiety is like kind of just makes it worse.
I think you posted something on your Instagram story the other day where, okay, I'm going to try and like, see if I can explain this. It was two circles. One circle was like, this is what I thought happiness looked like. And it was like 100% in the circle said like 100% happiness all the time. Do you remember? Was this you?
Yes.
And then the circle next to it, it was like a circle that was cut in half. And it's like, this is what happiness actually looks like. And it's 50% like unhappy and 50% happy.
It was 50% like things that make me unhappy, and then 50% like choosing another way to engage with it or something.
Is that what it was?
I don't know. We'll go back. We'll post it on the Hello Universe. But
I feel like it was like 50% unhappy, 50% happy, because that is true. It's a yin yang of life. Like there is no happiness without unhappiness. That's like the way that I interpreted that. And so happiness is actually, I know this is going to sound so weird, and I don't mean this in a pessimistic way. This to me is really beautiful. Happiness is actually experiencing unhappiness. And if you go through life thinking that you're supposed to be
okay.
Yeah. Cause if you go through life thinking that it's supposed to be happy all the time, you will be fucked.
Okay. So I'm so glad you said this, because there's this interesting chart, and some listeners might have seen this before, but you could just Google vibrational scale of emotions. And there's this interesting chart where like people have, you know, basically like measured, I don't even know how, or like the science behind it. So this is all
like scales of consciousness or whatever.
And it's like, these are the, you know, the like quote unquote lower vibration emotions, and then the higher ones. And at the bottom is shame, which totally checks out, right? Brene Brown was well documented for us that shame is
at the bottom,
the most painful that we avoid. Yeah. At the bottom. But one of the things that's also low on this scale is grief. And I always want to like, every time I pull this up, because I use it as when I teach sometimes, because it is helpful in a lot of contexts.
Yeah,
I always preface this exception that I think grief is an incredible expression of love. I think grief, like when you're really in the true expression of grief, when you really just allow yourself to feel grief, there is something so beautiful in it. Mm-hmm. So beautiful in it. And I think what's tricky is that grief also triggers shame and anger and fear and all these other things. But in and of itself, when you're like weeping because you love someone and you miss them, I just think that's like so sacred and beautiful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, so, which is just to say, like, it's not necessarily that it's an easy place to be, but it's not a place that you shouldn't be either.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, I think you're speaking to the, yes, it totally makes sense. I'm like, I'm so jazzed about this topic. And I think we may have even talked about it before, but this idea of like, this is actually like the spiritual shit, which is that all of life is like super multidimensional and like subtle, like in every experience, there's all these really just different subtle experiences. I'm like flailing with my hands, because I actually feel like it's like vibrational experiences and that are very, very different. And I would even say like, even when you go into anger, you will find that within anger, then there's sadness, but then sadness kind of changes to like appreciation, and then appreciation will like morph into like joy. And it's like, it's so nuanced, and it's so in depth. Like it's not just ever really good or bad. And like, as humans, we're capable of having these very profound, like nuanced, layered experiences with like grief. Like grief is like the perfect example of that. And so that's, you know, I've talked about this before, like the multidimensional nature of our reality is kind of that. And like when we are able to just let things be shitty, it's easier for us to like experience that and experience all of life. Like you get to like hold space for all of it, which then can turn a really shitty situation into something that becomes like mind-blowing sometimes.
Yeah. And so for example, this morning was like a morning with like lots of emotions in the house with the kids and everything and me getting annoyed and like whatever. It was just a moment. And then I just said to my son, you know, and my daughter, like, let's just start over. You know, we all said our sorries. We love each other. Let's just start over. And then we had so much fun, like the most fun. We like went on an adventure. We got, you know, pastries. Mm-hmm. We climbed random rocks. And there's a part of me that's aware that actually part of our joy was that we'd had this difficult moment. Like my son was like, it was a sad start to the day. That was what he told him. Kind of a sad start to the day, but then we had a lot of fun. Yeah. And part of the joy was actually like reemerging from the like sad start to the day.
Yeah.
And like then getting them in the car up because we had so much fun. Then when it was time to get in the car, they were like beside themselves. Yeah. They didn't want to leave. Yeah. And like, so the day itself had these waves, and one wave led into the other, and one wave was possible because of the other.
Yeah.
So even like you're putting it in this like really beautiful multidimensional lens, but I feel like it's also like actually just what our like day looks like too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And this is where it gets like, we could get like very sort of like I don't even say metaphysical, but this does feel spiritual to me, because isn't this what so many people talk about, which is like the yin and yang, like they go together to create the whole. Like that is,
yeah,
that's really, it's unavoidable, but that's also what makes everything work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like,
yeah,
it's like, you can feel bad, but what if you didn't label it as bad? That doesn't, that doesn't take away from your experience of like feeling really shitty, like honor that and let that be. But what if you like didn't label it as bad, then that would kind of change the game a little bit.
So I just taught a workshop on this, which was really super rewarding. And it was actually about exactly that. It was this idea of like, okay, we all have these like places of discomfort, right? Like whether it's a trigger, whether it's like whatever it is, like something that some moment of discomfort rises. And then we also have a story about what that discomfort means. So like maybe your friend doesn't text you back, that feels uncomfortable. And then there's a story that's like, well, she's never been a good friend and she doesn't actually care about me anyway. And that's because I'm a shitty friend and like no one likes me anyway and I'm lonely, right? And so like there's a story that feels, that like brings on so much like isolation, judgment, shame, you know, anger, right? In that one moment. And I was thinking about the word grace and how like it's this beautiful word, but like, what does it actually mean? And I was thinking about like, I think grace is when we create space between a point of discomfort and the story. So it's not even like that we get rid of the story, because that's a really tall order to ask, but just like that there's a breath between the two and we can begin to recognize like, I didn't get she didn't text back, and that's uncomfortable. And also there's a story, and that's, and like that story may be true, maybe false. It's kind of irrelevant, but what happens if I can like, even if it's just for 30 seconds, live in the space between those? Cause then I think sometimes in an attempt to start to recognize, oh, this story isn't helpful. So we actually try to reject the whole thing, but that discomfort still wants to be acknowledged. So when we reject the whole thing, it actually like gets repressed. Totally. And then the second time she doesn't text, she's like,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. I love that I love that word as a description of it. Yeah. I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to spend more time in that space. That feels like the practice for me. Cause it's like in that moment, I can be really compassionate to the part of me that is feeling discomfort, but I don't have to layer on all the made up stories about the discomfort.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that goes back to this idea of grief, because that's kind of where it originated from. Anyway, I won't go down that, whole rabbit hole, but it just feels tied to grief because it feels like tied to recognizing like the love at the core of grief, mm-hmm. without spilling into the stories of how it's your fault or your bad, mm-hmm. or this or that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything that we haven't touched on regarding mental health or your own journey, like tending to your mental or physical health, that you feel that feels important to acknowledge?
I don't think so. I think we did like such a good job of covering a bunch of stuff in this amount of time. I mean, I feel like it's going to be an ongoing conversation. I feel like in this moment, it's been just a really lovely reminder for me, I think, to, I don't know, oddly enough, talking about it is a reminder of just like my humanness and that I really love my human self. So to continue to extend kindness and compassion to the self, I think is such good medicine.
Mm. I also love your human self.
And I love your human self. Mm. Yeah. We're such cheese balls.
We are.
Unapologetically so.
Mm-hmm. So, Eva, what is something that's bringing you joy right now?
Oh, man. There are actually a lot of things bringing me joy, because that's the funny thing about life. There's still always little segments of joy. God, I don't know. I just have like multiple things running through my head. I guess I'll just go with the one that is the most recent.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't do this often, because it's not like how I was raised. I feel like some people do this often, but I just never had the habit. But I do notice that when I'm seeking comfort, I will eat in bed. I will like crawl into my covers and like eat a cookie or like eat a snack and just like whatever it is that I'm like might be watching. And again, I don't have a habit of doing that, but I do find that whenever I need comfort, because there's something.
It's a really great.
Yeah. Like there's something about crawling into bed and just like munching on a snack that feels really, really nourishing and nurturing.
I feel like some part of it I imagine is like, ooh, I'm not supposed to have food in bed. Like whenever you're kind of like low key breaking rules, there's a little delight. I think
that's what it is. Exactly. It's exactly that like I'm going to treat this. It feels like a treat myself kind of moment.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love this.
What about you, Kylie? What's something that's bringing you joy?
So this past weekend, my friend came to visit and we had a sleepover.
I know.
Oh my God.
So my friend Vanessa,
my house. At your place? So my friend Vanessa Love, who, if you guys don't follow her, she's just an incredible person. I'm sure we'll have her on the podcast one of these days. She's an internet friend that I met in, you know, this past year of COVID. And she was traveling with her daughter, who's, you know, close to my kid's age. And she was traveling near us. And we were like, I'll meet you, you know, I'll meet you halfway. We'll spend the day. And she was like, why don't I just drive a little longer? And like, we'll have a sleepover. And I was like, the first one, she drove extra, which was very nice. And she showed up with like armfuls of flowers and snacks and like all of these Goodwill clothes that didn't fit her daughter anymore. And it was like a perfect day. It was like 70 degrees and the kids played together and they were all just like so excited because, you know, it's been COVID, right? Like new friends is like, and so they were just like playing together. And we took them all to the beach and they like splashed in the water. I actually jumped in the water, even though the water was like 45 degrees, because I'm an insane person. And like,
yeah, but that's the best though. I love that.
And then like, we all sat outside at the fire, like after the kids went to bed, Vanessa and my husband and I all like sat outside at the fire. And it was just like, it was just such a gift to like, I mean, first of all, just like meeting a friend who's an intern, who's like become this really beautiful close friend over the past year. Mm-hmm. And also then like seeing our kids play, but just, we don't, like our worlds have been so tiny, you know, and here's this friend driving yeah. across multiple state lines coming to my house. And it just was like, it was really, really, really special and very fun.
Oh, it sounds like such a treat. Yeah. Being able to be social, your friends are connecting. She brought gifts and you had a sleepover. Like, yeah, that sounds
and like medicine. In the morning, my kids ran across the hall and woke her up and she brought all three of the kids down. So like oh Nick and I slept until all of a sudden we were like, when Nick and I were like, oh, what's going on? Like, cause we were like, when you're a parent of small children and you like wake up not completely exhausted, you're like, something's wrong.
Yeah, totally.
But
you're like, what happened?
It was so fun. And then yeah. even today we were laying on the couch, Desi and Birdie and I playing a game of like pretending we were babies and like whatever, and Birdie goes, Vanessa's a baby. That's so cute. Like, she's not even here, but Birdie's delighted in including her in the game. So yeah, that brought me.
That must have felt so fun.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was awesome and hilarious, and
but also cool. Like that moment of like when you meet someone, it is exciting. Like, you know, your friends already.
Yeah.
But it's cool to actually meet them in person for the first time.
I read something a really funny meme a couple weeks ago that said, "Internet friends, you know my deepest, darkest secrets, and I've never seen your legs."
Totally. Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, that about sums it up.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So there was a lot of joy in that. So,
all right. Well, thank you so much for sharing in this conversation with me, Kylie. Why don't you share where can everybody find you?
Well, actually, I want to say one more thing, which is just that. Thank you for sharing so vulnerably about going through something that's not easy, because I know when you're having a shit time, maybe that's not a fair word to use, but when you're having a hard time, being vulnerable is sometimes the last thing that feels accessible to you. And I just think it's a beautiful testament to, I don't know, everything about you, that you're like, I'm not having the best time. You know what? I'm going to dissect it in public, because I think it will benefit other people and probably also me. And I think that's beautiful. And also, I mean, I know this, but I just love you.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I feel like I should say thank you for listening, and to the audience too. But what did I want to say about that? Oh yeah. Just for anyone who might be struggling, like, I just know that I see you and I get you. And I think that's also why I'm so dedicated to the work of lessening suffering in the world, because I think I also know I understand suffering. And so, I don't know, if just like reach out if anybody's ever just feeling like confused or overwhelmed, like,
I think that's another point I want to make to anyone who's listening. Like, if you're having a hard time, it's a myth of our kind of broken society that you're supposed to figure that out on your own. And I think sometimes when we're really into personal development and we combine that with having a period of depression or anxiety, it can turn into like, I should fix this for myself. I should know better. I have the tools. And like, that's not true. Like, none of us are meant to do any of this alone. And like, you know, there's a reason why every time you and I talk, we both walk away feeling better, right? Cause like, we're meant to help each other. So if you're having a hard time, I know it can feel really hard to reach out. And also, it will be the thing that makes the, thing that makes the difference, you know? So we'll link in the show notes to some mental health resources too. So for anyone who's like, in the weeds, we got you.
All right. Thank you so much, Kat. Yeah. So where can people find you?
Yeah. You can join my Facebook group, Akashic Soul Circle with Kylie Caldwell. And you can follow me on Instagram, Kylie Caldwell. Those are the two key things.
Yeah.
Oh, if you haven't signed up for my mailing list, I do send out, like, I mean, you get a really cool Akashic meditation when you sign up, but also I'm kind of always trying to send out like goodies and tidbits.
Great.
So
yay.
I think Kylie Caldwell.com. How about you, Eva?
Well, you can find me on Instagram, where I do all my hanging out, at Bad Bitch Living. You can check out my website at evaliao.com. And my newsletter is very sleepy, but I'm working on getting that back up and going, because sometimes I think there's an opportunity for that to feel much more nourishing for me, honestly, than just Instagram. Mm-hmm. So if you are interested in joining and hearing from me more often, you can also find that on my website.
That's so funny. I thought earlier in this conversation, I don't know where it hopped in, but something about you and newsletters. And I was like, she doesn't have a newsletter.
Oh, no. I do have one. I just don't email that often.
Yeah. 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 So I guess I'm just saying that feels aligned because I was like getting ideas for you in your newsletter. Oh, and I was like, that's not her main vehicle, yeah. But I was getting ideas for you.
So. Oh, yes. I always love your ideas. Send them my way.
Okay. Thank you all. We love you. Thank you, dear.
Bye. Mm-hmm.